So today, for our opening scripture, it'll be the scripture for today, because from it, I want to go into our communion service too, because the two are very deeply connected. And I like things that just seem to flow in the Lord. So if you would please, our opening scripture or scripture for the day would be from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. And I have it in the King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now think about all that's transpired already this morning, and all the talk about the firm foundation that we stand on. And the word says, you will keep the person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace is a peace that doesn't waver, a mind that doesn't waver, a mind that doesn't change, a mind that is brought unto the discipline of the Holy Spirit, so that it's not running to and fro or going all over the place, because, you know, we're the only one that can change our mind. And sometimes you can change your mind a lot in a day. But the perfect peace comes from certain things. One of them is keeping our mind stayed on Him, fixed. I like to use the example of Fixodent for people that wear dentures. You put them suckers in with super glue and they're not coming out over a cob of corn. They're going to stay right there where you want them. They're not moving. And so you need vice grips to get them out at night, put them in your glass, and they're waiting in the morning going like this when you get up, because they just want to start talking. Well, now we'll move on from that. To have your mind stayed, fixed, it really is like that. Your mind is so established in a truth that it's not going to start wavering if you don't see instant results. And that's a really important thing, because once your mind is made up and you put your foot down and say, that's the way it is, that's where I'm taking my stand, and I'm not moving, that's my mind, and I'm making this faith declaration with my mind set, my mind is established. And then you have peace. But if you're still in that limbo state where you're not quite settled where you're going to take a stand, well, more than likely you're going to waver off the things that you're believing God for, even. Because your mind will start wandering. You'll start questioning. And worse than that, you'll start reasoning. And reasoning sometimes is very detrimental to our faith walk. And if you go to James with me, chapter 1, there's a portion of scripture that are very compatible with this. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Once you've set your mind and established it, there's peace there, and it's perfect peace. It's the peace that passes all understanding that we talked about last week. Once you have peace, you can walk your walk with a certainty, and you can make quality decisions. So listen to what James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You ever been to the ocean when there's a big storm offshore and windy, and the wind is blowing the mist off the tops of the waves, and the waves are just all in turmoil and they seem to be going in three or four directions at once? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is writing through James, or speaking through James, about the power of our mind and how easy it is to change it. And what ends up happening is this. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you want to find out what's going to mess up your prayer, if you want to find out what's going to hinder your prayer walk or the things you're believing God for, the secret is right here. You start wavering in your mind. You start debating. You start wondering, is this really true? And your mind starts questioning. And once it does, what's happened to that thought that you originally had your mind all fixed in something? And then suddenly you change it. And look at what else happens. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, you can't have peace and be double-minded at the same time. We each have to take our stand, and in our thinking, and in our mind, because we're subject to thoughts that can challenge what we say we believe or what we're trusting. And we say we're trusting in the Lord, but there's still a part of us that wants to hang on to stuff, so that if something goes wrong, we can't blame God. But this is a really important truth for all of us. Peace is easy to receive, but it's not easy to keep. And so let this be part of your faith foundation once you take a stand on His Word, because the Word should be the subject or the object of our foundation. Otherwise, it will look like all the holes I filled and the cracks I filled out there the other day. We had a nice foundation, but it was all dirty. To wash it all down to the hose, get all the dirt and crud off the wall so that I could see where it was leaking. Well, you know, our mind is a good source of leaky thinking. You know, I asked Tom if he would do his presentation first and I would save mine because I wanted to show you other scriptures that are very supportive. A foundation is only as sound as the mind. And we are promised peace, but it's conditional. It takes training, it takes discipline, it takes a lot of work sometimes to change the way you think about something in the Lord. But once your mind is set, don't let the enemy change it. Don't start thinking on your own about, well, I don't know how that's going to work. Well, good, he does. Keep your mind focused. But once we start thinking like that, what's happened to our faith? Where did that go? Is my faith as strong today as it was yesterday? When I heard the Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You see, today, we're all hearing the Word. Our faith is going to come from hearing that Word, because when we hear the Word, it's not just with these ears, but it's with the inner man that Paul talks about. And that kind of faith is solid. That's what our foundation is based on, faith in the Word of God, not wavering. Because if we waver, the enemy can get a foothold and start going from there and start tearing down. Actually, he will tear down the object of what you're believing God for, what you've set your mind to. But you don't have to cooperate with him. Give him a hard time over it. Put your foot down and say, no, my mind is set. My mind is fixed. I've taken my stand. This is what I'm believing God for. It's in his Word. This is one of his promises about peace in my life. And I'm not going to play that game anymore. This is it. I've drawn the line in the sand. And it's not a red line like one of our former presidents who was quick to let our enemy cross it. We have an enemy. And you draw a red line in your sand. And don't you let him cross it. You hold fast so that you become unmovable. And you take your stand. And he's not going to move you off it. Because the problem comes where God really is waiting for us to make up our mind before he responds to what we've asked him for or what we've set our hearts to believe for. And if we're like this all the time, I mean, just pretend you were God today, okay? Just pretend, because you won't be. But just pretend. How would you deal with the person who comes to you and he or she asks you for wisdom? And so you say, okay, I'll be your little wizard for the day. I'll hide behind the veil and you come to me and ask me for wisdom. So you give the person wisdom. There it comes. wisdom. Now you got it. What are you going to do with it? Are you soon going to take what you just asked for and sit back down and begin to question the very reason you asked for wisdom? It won't be that God takes it back. It's just that you won't get any of its desired results because you're unsettled in your mind. Well, I forgot what I asked him for wisdom for. Duh. It just, you put yourself in a place where, what do you really want? What are you really asking me for? And so, you could just almost see God going like, well, I really started to do this, but then they changed their mind, and now I'm over here, and now I'm up here, and now I'm over here, and I don't know what you want, so I'll just settle. You're not getting anything. Until you set your mind, you make up your mind, and then I will honor your word. I will honor your faith. And that's the simplicity of this. But it's also the serious side of it. Once you set your mind, then what's going to happen is you'll have that perfect peace that he's talking about. See, peace is always available in the Lord. It's a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit in your life. It came with the package. Peace moved in. But until we get our minds renewed to the Word, because that's really important, you start putting new Word in so that the old thoughts that produce worry and fear, anxiety, they get quenched by the Word of God. That's where you take your stand. That's where your mind needs to be established and fixed. So that leads us to communion, because communion is a celebration of that relationship with the Lord that we each have. And communion means to come in union with. When we come together as a body, we come in union with one another. We also come in union with Christ. So that's why I like the fact that as we uncover these things in the Word, a lot of times we read a chapter a day or whatever, but we don't often retain all of what we just read. So it's good to renew the mind, make it new again, make it work like it did in the beginning, and before somebody taught us to change it. See, that's a learned behavior too. We're not sure, so don't commit if you're not sure, but once you are, there your peace will be. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 22. Now, we all came here, so we do have houses to eat and to drink. You can do communion at home as well. And I always encourage that, because sometimes when we go 3 or 4 weeks and we don't do it together as a body, I would hope that that you do have communion at home as well, because just you and the Lord is a majority. But here we have a body to celebrate together. Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. We don't want to get to where, well, I have communion every week at home, so I don't really need to come to church and have it. Or I have it at church, so I don't need to have it at home. Don't make light of it, because it was Jesus who willingly gave his body for each of us. And it was his blood that he shed for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And not only forgave us, but removed them. See, if your mind is not settled about even why we do this, then how can you be settled on anything? It has to start with this. It has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you born again? Are you born of the Spirit that Jesus talked about? And that's the key question. So only you know that. Only you can settle that. But that's something that you don't want to waver. And like the man that he talked about, that that at one time was established in his faith. But he began to waver. He began to doubt. He began to wonder. And he ended up throwing it all away. And that's how easy you can lose a promise. You can lose a blessing. You can lose your favor. So the two really come together. It's not a typical communion message, but you probably aren't going to hear a lot of typical stuff here. It just flows. It just all comes together. But if we can't settle on this and be in union about it, where else can you go? What else can you... This is the foundation. It's our relationship with him. And so Paul said, in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. So he's doing this in letter form to the church. I'm just reading his letter, and you're part of his congregation. And through this letter, Paul's telling us where this message came from. It came from the Lord. The Lord gave him these words. And now he's delivering them unto us. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. You remember the Gospels accounts. Matthew was a really good one. Judas was still at the table, the one who had made a pact with the scribes, the chief priests, high priest, that he was going to, that night, was going to betray Jesus into their hands. And yet he was at the same table where Jesus was talking about this. And yet he still offered Judas the opportunity. If he'd have wanted to stay at the table, Judas still had the opportunity to participate, but he chose to get up and walk out and go do what he did. He said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, and said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I like the word broken in the sense that the scriptures, in order to be fulfilled, they were not allowed to break any bones in Jesus' body. They beat him terribly, but they didn't break any bones. Why? Because the scriptures foretold, and I believe it's Psalm 22 that talks of his crucifixion in great detail, and none of his bones were broken. And when the Romans had another nifty little trick they would do, they would go to anyone that they had crucified and break their legs so that they would end up suffocating to death on the cross before sunset. But they went to Jesus, and he had already given up his spirit, so they never broke his legs, because he willingly gave his life. He gave up his spirit to the Lord. So this is a reference to that. And the other thing, Jesus was broken of his own will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked his disciples to come and pray with him, and they fell asleep. One of the things he asked of the Lord is that, Lord, if there's any other way, I'm really all for that, because I know what's coming. And three times he asked the Lord, and he came away fully convinced that the will of God was that he go through with the crucifixion, because he knew already that he would be raised up on the third day. But he was willing to endure that for our sakes. And so he agreed. But he was broken of his own will. And I'll tell you, there's times in your life you're going to have to face a decision. It's not going to be easy to make, and you're going to have to be broken of your will that the Father's will be done. It's just a fact. And we've all been there at least once. And it may not be done yet. But in order to do God's will, there's going to be times when we're going to have to put our will aside to do what he wants us to do. So this was where Jesus broke the loaf of bread, broke it into pieces, and distributed it among themselves. And they all ate, but Judas had gotten up and left. verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is of the New Testament, not the old anymore. This cup he drank was of the new, that was going to take the old place, replace it. Because there was never anyone offered for the sins of man. There were goats, sheep, different animals for different sacrifices, but no one, no human, had ever offered themselves on the cross for man's redemption. But Jesus did. And the blood he shed is for the New Testament, because you remember reading a good lesson on the sacrifices is from the book of Hebrews. You can read a lot about the blood and about the sacrifices and how nothing could remove our sins. It just covered them up, because it was a foreshadow of the new covenant to come, where the blood of Jesus would not only remove our sins so that they didn't need to be covered up anymore, they were removed. That's the power of that blood. I was thinking about man's massive capacity to destroy himself with all kinds of weapons of warfare that we have. And even the biggest nuclear bomb, as powerful as it is, could not remove your sins. It might remove all the pieces of you, but it wouldn't remove you. We would die in the condition that we died in. It would be so powerful. But nothing is as powerful as one drop of the blood of Jesus. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And when you get in trouble, don't run away from God. Run to Him. Always remember that. You don't have to be afraid. He's already provided for us. So he, and then Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do in, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And that's what we're doing. When we hand this out and we all do this, we're doing it in remembrance of Him. But also remember the day of your salvation. Do you remember how elated and how excited and the joy that flooded you from head to toe? You just, suddenly the light came on and you just knew that being born again was God's plan of salvation for you that day. So we're doing it in remembrance of that as well. And for a lot of us, it might have been a long time ago, but for some maybe not so long. But just remember what He did for you when this comes around to you. Aha! I love it. I never have to ask. My beloveds are right there. Boom, just like that. That's awesome. Father, we thank You.
We thank You, Lord. Thank You for this bread.
Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of Him. If you have need of healing, He provided healing by the stripes upon His back. If you have need of deliverance, He provided that at the cross too. And He said, He has delivered us from all the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So when this comes to you today, think about the quality of life you have now. Think about the hope that you have. Think about the peace you have. Think about the joy you have. Think about how your life is so much better than what you had before. And some people had a really good life before they got saved. I know people that spent almost all their life in church and were brought up in a Christian home. But it didn't make them a Christian until they personally received Jesus for themselves. I could go sit in my garage until hell freezes over, but that won't make me a car. It's a time of thanksgiving. And Father, we are thankful. And we do this in remembrance of you. You're precious. You're more precious than diamonds and more costly than gold. What more could we have that would be more important than this? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.